Okay. Well, I feel at home because I got an introduction that I'm used to. I was preaching. It was last year in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and the pastor, he's a good friend of mine. He got up and he said Dave Barnhouse is part John the Baptist, and I'm like, I'm cool with that. And he said part Barney Fife. And the problem is they only heard the Barney Fife part. They didn't hear the John the Baptist part. So all week long, they came up to me and said, "Hey, Barney, how you doing?" You know, there were two people mentioned in that, John the Baptist and Barney Fife. I got stuck with Barney. So, preacher, I'm used to that. Makes me feel at home. So then another one got up and said, "The first time I met you, I thought you were an idiot." And I'm like, "Well, praise the Lord." I'm starting to get a complex. You're like the 10th guy in a row to do that to me. I found out it wasn't the drugs. So, well, I tell you, you know, I know some men in here, Brother Duffett. I don't know. It's probably 16 years ago when I was pastoring in Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. I've always wanted to be involved in missions, and I just want to make sure this dumb thing's turned off. It's buzzing, so let me kill it. And I always wanted to be a missionary, but the Lord just, every time the door would open, right out of college, I was planning on going to Brazil as a missionary, went to a church, was an assistant pastor for a year, and I was only planning on doing that. I was excited about going to Brazil. That pastor resigned shortly thereafter, asked me if I would candidate to be the preacher. Well, I was 27 years old. I said, "They're not going to vote me in. I mean, there's guys in there that are career military." And I thought, well, this is easy. I'll do what the pastor said. I'll candidate. They'll vote no, and I'll go to Brazil. Well, they didn't vote no. They voted 100%, and that caused all kinds of problems. So I did. I pastored there. Never got that out of my heart. Went in North Carolina, was an assistant pastor there. And then the Lord opened the door in Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. There was a church with 12 people. A missionary came through on a Sunday night, preached about the need in North America, churches not having pastors, convicted me because I was a pastor, and you know, there were two pastors there, so I went ahead and told him he could tell that church about me. When I went there, 10 people, there were 12 people, 10 people voted yes, 2 people voted no. The name of the church is Slippery Rock Baptist. You ought to go to a youth camp with that on your bus. You know, I mean, you know, everybody's like, "Don't you know it's Solid Rock?" You know, I said, "It's the name of the town." You know, I wasn't trying. You know, and the church is on Keister Road, which makes it worse. You know, I sound like a 70-year-old lady with smoker's cough. You know, so when they call, they think there's a woman pastor. You know, so I was there for, unfortunately, that's the truth, but I was there for 10 years, and that mission thing never got out of me, and so I told them we're going to take a mission trip, and they're like, "Out of the country?" So I picked Alaska because it's still part of the country, kind of. That was probably the most dangerous thing we've ever done in our life. I took 16 people. We flew to Anchorage, got a van, camped all the way to Fairbanks, got to Fairbanks. It was bad weather. Stayed there for 2 days. Got into 3 missionary planes. One of the doors kept jumping open. You know, that was a little rough. One of the guys in my church, he said his arm was just shaking trying to hold the door shut. They dropped us off and left. And man, what a trip that was. On that trip, 2 of our young people changed their majors, went back. They're in a ministry today. One of them supports me right now in Africa. And I love missions. Here's the thing. The people that inspired me were guys like Daryl Chaplin. Anybody know him? Yeah. Ooh, man. Hearing him tell stories when I was a young person made me dream. Here's the thing. We don't have Daryl Chaplins very often anymore. Margaret Stringer, you know, a single lady going to a tribe of people who wear no clothes. You know, nowadays, Pastor, you ever heard somebody come to you and say, "Well, you know what, I need a break from the nursery, I'm a little overwhelmed"? Okay, overwhelmed? Overwhelmed is going to a tribe of people who wear no clothes. That's overwhelmed. Having to do nursery twice in a week? No. You know, I'm like, we don't know what that's like. Well, let's get into this and let the Lord help us this morning. Romans chapter 8, we'll pray and we'll get going. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the chance, Lord, just to talk about who you are. And Lord, when you took Abraham up on that mountain and you showed him those stars, Lord, you didn't have all the details. You just showed him something incredible that only you could do. And what you were telling him is if you'll let him, if he will let you, you could do that with his life. He didn't know all the details involved in what was going to happen. You just took him up there and said, see those stars? Your kids are going to be like those stars. When you sent us out on the Great Commission, you said, go ye in all the world. You didn't say, invent a printing press. Go discover America, find Australia. Those places people didn't even know where they were at yet except you. Or do you just ask us to dream? Well, Lord, today we've kind of lost a little bit of that. I pray you'd help us to find it this morning. We ask this in your precious name, amen. In Romans chapter 8, if you look, it says in verse 32... or verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? Sometimes we forget stuff like that. That is in the Bible. Well, what a great verse. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, man, I tell you what, good word to underline, spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, for everybody in this room, for everybody in the world, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Can you look what he's telling you already? We're just one verse into this. Okay? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Already we've got everything we need as a Christian to be successful, to take on any challenge, any obstacle, any country, any problem in our life. Okay? Goes on to say this. It says, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? So he's mentioning these things. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then it mentions these things. These things aren't people. God uses people in our lives. Do you realize that we are under a curse? My soul is eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. This is still under a curse. Okay, I'm not going to take it to heaven. This is broken. I fight this every day of my life. I'm stuck in it. Okay, it doesn't like the Lord. It doesn't want to do what God wants me to do. It comes up with all kinds of excuses. It is very vulnerable to the things of this world. And everybody in this room is stuck in the same body with the same problem. Okay, then we also are then stuck in a world that's broken. Sometimes the effects in our life happen because we make bad decisions and sin comes into our life, gets a little foothold and becomes a problem. And then we may struggle with it for years. Then there's things that happen to us because we are in a broken world. When I was in New Orleans, there was a young lady that came through that was helping us with some backyard Bible clubs. And she was staying at our house. And I went into the bathroom after some time, and there was water all over the floor. I went to my wife, I said, hey, do we have a leak in there? The bathroom's got water everywhere. And that young lady said, I'm sorry, that was probably my fault. I said, okay, just get a mop and we'll clean it up. And she said, I can't take a shower with the shower door shut. She said, ever since I was small, I can't do it. Something that I battle. And I looked at that young lady and I said, in just a few minutes, you're going to go out. And I did it as kind as I can. I said, in just a few minutes, you're going to. Now, am I oblivious to the fact that there has to be something there that has caused that? Well, absolutely. Because you know why? We live in a broken world. But no matter what it is, God has never intended you to have to be bound by it. That I can promise you. Okay? Never intended you to have to be bound by it. And I told her, I said, just a few minutes, you're going to walk out there and you're going to tell those kids about a God that can walk on water and he can part the Red Sea. But he can't help you shut the shower curtain. But very nice. And then off she went. And you know why I did that? Because I know what it's like to be in a broken body. It has fears and doubts. I know what it's like to have something in your life that you don't want there. And man, you have fought that and fought that and fought that. Guys, have you ever, you know, there are some times that you can, as a guy, it's just easy to get angry sometimes. And you say, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But if you were to be honest, there'd be hands going all over this room. We can't even conquer that. How in the world are we going to go up against some of these things in the Bible? You know, more and more that I go out and preach, I realize, guys, you fight something I don't fight. Thank the Lord we didn't have the internet when I was your age. Man, we used to hear preaching on television. They'd get up and they'd rip that from one end to the other. Well, if the television's the gate to hell, I'd hate to figure out what you're going to call the internet. Okay? You know, because everything about it says to flee from it. Well, it's in your pocket. Where you run, it runs. Hard to get away from it. Okay? But may I tell you something? I don't know how many times I've been up there and I can see it in a guy's eyes. It's a problem. They don't want it to be a problem. They beg God every night, help me. And the quietness of their mind, help me. Good kids. Good young people, girls. I mean, and Pastor, am I the only one that sees a problem with anxiety and depression and these things that are smothering our churches and it's keeping us down? Well, I told this young lady that, and a couple of months went by. And remember Uncle Jerry at that Smite camp? Well, I was up there preaching. Got done. Lobby's full of people. And I hear this girl say, hey, pastor. Well, there's pastors everywhere, so everybody turns. And she says, do you remember me? I said, no, I don't. She said, I'll remind you. She said, I can take a shower with the door shut down. I'm like, well, that's great. Everybody else is wondering, what in the world? You know, I'm like, you could have sent me an email, you know? You know, it's like, but I was like, amen for her, you know? I mean, she got help. Well, listen to this. Here's what it says. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril of sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things, what we mentioned before, nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. I read that. I'm like, could it not have just said that we are conquerors? Instead, he said, Dave, I want you to understand this. I want you to get this. Not only through me can you conquer living in a broken body. You can be more than a conqueror. How can you be more than a winner? He's saying, man, I'm not weak, therefore you're not weak. I don't run, therefore you don't have to run. I'm not afraid, therefore you don't have to be afraid. I'm not weak, therefore you don't have to be weak. He says, I'm with you, and I love you, And I'm on your side. And it's time that we start dreaming again. It's time. We need some more Margaret Stringers. We need some more Daryl Chaplins. We need some Christians that aren't going to allow. Here's what happens. The world gives it a name, and then you're stuck with it forever. Because the second you be able, whether it's anxiety, whatever it is that we deal with as broken people, the world wants you to live with it. And God doesn't want you to live with it. God wants you to live above it. Man, I did not know who my father was until I was 32 years old. The guy that I thought was my father was in prison. My mom was not saved. She had an affair with his parole officer. Didn't know about it until I was 32 years old. I asked my mom one day, you know that verse about it says sins of the fathers passed down three generations? I know that doesn't mean you're automatically hammered, but I wanted to know so I can keep an eye out on it. In my life, you know what she said on the phone? She said, well, you don't have to worry about it. I'm like, well, what do you mean? She said, well, he's not your father. I'm like, whew, that's a load off my mind. I'm like, what do you mean he's not my father? You know? I mean, 32 years. 32 years of, I don't know if I should have hair or no hair. Because he's dead. Never met him. You know? I mean, and some of you are looking at me going, huh, you ought to live that. Okay, but all I'm telling you, did it hurt? Yes. Was it confusing? Yes. Could it have been a thing in my life where I need a therapist? Yes. Okay, but may I tell you something? That God is real, and it doesn't matter the hurt. Hey, listen, sometimes our flesh can get into something that just plagues us. Have you ever been up at the altar and said, God, I'll never do it again? Only to find yourself doing it again. You ever get frustrated with that and you just think, well, maybe this is it. I just gotta stick Band-Aids on it and hope it doesn't rip my life apart one day. That's not what the Lord says. And he says that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And I like this, for I am persuaded. You're not talking him out of it. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, I'm persuaded none of these can do this. 3 years ago, a girl that was 15 years old from Holland sailed around the world by herself. Do we have any 15-year-old boys here in the front row? Anybody 15? If you're 15, raise your hand. Yeah, you're 15? Raise your hand real high. Anybody want to go get in a sailboat with her? And go around the world? Can you imagine crossing the Atlantic Ocean by yourself at 15? This girl is lost. She does not know the Lord. How did a lost girl get in a boat and sail around the world when we got Jesus Christ living in us and we can't even clean out the basement? How did she get in a boat and do, I mean, either there's something about sailing about around the world that I don't know. I mean, that's a big deal. You can die doing that. There's no, I mean, waves. She came across the bottom of Africa, went to Cape Town. She did it in a storm, and all the seasoned sailors says, nobody has ever done that. She didn't know she couldn't. And she parked that boat there, and preacher, listen, lost people climb Mount Everest. A lost guy, I don't know, I mean, he might be saved. The guy in Kenya broke the world land record for running a marathon. And we as Christians, the devil's got us in this little box and told us that you can't do anything. You know? I mean, how can a lost person sail around the world and you got Jesus Christ inside of you? So, real quick, let me show you what it's like in the Bible to be more than a conqueror. Go to 2 Kings. I got that part out. 2 Kings chapter 5. Something that I've been doing as I've been reading the Bible, read through many times, is now I'm kind of taking a chair and I'm sticking it in the chapter, and I'm just sitting there and I'm looking around the story. Because you can't, if you just read it and you don't think about the people in it, you're going to miss something. It says here, now Naaman, a captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He also was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman, his wife. So we know this story. We know that Naaman was given the permission to go in and to destroy this little girl's village. How old do you think she was? You ever thought about that? Said she was a little maid. You know, and I've heard everywhere from, say, maybe 6 years old to 12 years old. So let's just say she's 12. Could you imagine at 12 years old, somebody coming into your town and shooting the place up? She's 12 years old, and there's people dying in the street. She's 12 years old, and she sees her mother and father murdered. Houses are burning. Naaman sees her running, grabs her, and sticks her in this chariot. Takes her back to be a house servant in his home. She's 12 years old. She's in a pagan society. Her mom and dad's gone. You take your average 12-year-old girl out of your average fundamental independent Baptist home and you put her through that, and you'll really see what you have. I mean, would you blame her if she was up in bed, curled underneath the sheets, crying uncontrollably for days? Would you blame her if she had this blank stare in her face and looked off every day and didn't want to talk to anybody? This little girl has seen things adults in this room have never even witnessed. And can you please explain to me what happened next? It said, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were the prophet that is in Samaria. Can you see her saying, boy, I wish I was home. And Naaman's wife says, please don't start that again. I know you miss your parents, and I'm sorry your village is gone, but I can't do anything about that. And she says, no, ma'am, that's not why I wish I was back home. Because back home, I know somebody that can help your husband. And I'm looking at that right there. And I'm seeing a little girl with the demons of depression and the demons of fear and the demons of doubt and the demons of hurt coming at her 100 miles an hour. And I see a little 12-year-old girl grab a sword and do something that is supernatural. That is beyond her capability and beyond her years to make a statement like that. And can you see her? If you could draw back, it's not just a little girl sitting there. I mean, she grabs a sword and she holds on with both hands. She knows the God of which she was raised. She understands there's something special about him and her people. She knows the man of God's got a message from God that can help her. And she holds on to that. And when she should be angry, you know what she should have done? She should have just kept that to herself and said, hey, he deserves to die a horrible death because of what he did to me. Okay? And nobody in this room would blame her. But that little girl grabbed a sword, entered into battle, sailed around the world for Jesus, and did something. Though you look back, and when a battle's done, she's got blood on her dress, the enemy's on the ground, and you can hear it in the background. We are more than conquerors. Because that's what it's like. You see it in Daniel. Daniel, very similar situation. But you know, something about Daniel, you have to think about the backstory. Daniel never got married. Does anybody know why Daniel never got married? Because back then, when they captured you and you were 16, 17 years old and you were going to go work in the king's palace? If you'll read the story, it says the guy that was in charge of them was the prince of the eunuchs. He was over charge of who? Eunuchs. Okay? It wasn't his choice. See, at 16, 17 years old, he too was captured and his future was taken away from him. He's never going to have a family. He's never going to have children. And he's never going to get married. And you look at our young men today, and we are losing that battle. The world is just destroying them way too many times. And you put an average teenager through something like that today, and he's coming out bitter. He's coming out hurt. He doesn't want anything to do with the ministry. And all of a sudden, this young man grabs a sword and says, I will not be defiled with the king's meat. He's got all of these things coming at him. His whole life has been taken away. I mean, hit with things that people in this room have never had to deal with. How is he standing there doing that? Because he tapped a power source that is in you. That with him, we are more than conquerors. It doesn't matter. When Job got the devil took all his kids. He took all his money. He took everything away from him. He's sitting there in ashes, scraping boils. Says, naked I came in, naked I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Could you imagine the first time God turns the devil loose? Man, look, you got one shot from God. You're going to hit him with everything you have. Kids are gone. Money's gone. The devil just punched him right in the face and knocked him down. The devil's walking away saying, I'm going to go up and tell God, look at him. All of a sudden, he sees something move. Job gets up, wipes blood off his lip, spits on the ground, looks him in the eye, and said, naked I came in, naked I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the devil says, I don't know what to do with crazy. I mean, how do you hit a guy so incredibly hard? I mean, knock him flat to the ground. And he gets up. Go to Ezekiel chapter 24, if you would, with me. So we saw a little girl. We saw a young boy. Ezekiel chapter 24. In verse 15, God's had Ezekiel to do many things. He's getting ready to just hammer Israel. Before he hammers them, he says, Ezekiel, I need you to do one more thing for me. He said, what I'm going to ask you to do is very difficult, but I want you to do that because as they see your life, I want them to understand that I am getting ready to act like I'm asking you to act when I hammer them. He says, so I want this lesson out there one more time, and Ezekiel, I need you to do this. And here's what he said. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes. He's saying, Ezekiel, your wife's going to die, but look at the words God uses. It lets you know they had a good marriage. It lets you know that, man, there was a bond here with him and his wife. He said, I'm going to take away the desire of your eyes. And then goes on to say, with a stroke, yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. Now, remember, you can't just read that. You got to take a chair and you got to sit down. Do you think he just walked in his house that night? Said, hey, wife, hello? Anybody home? Goes in the bed and opens the door and there she is. Gone. You think he just looked at her and said, well, God said it would happen. No way. Can you imagine him coming in that night and realizing he can't find her? And he opens the bedroom door, and there she is. She's gone. Can you see him go over there and brush the hair on her head, reach down and kiss her on the forehead, and tears just fall? Because he was supposed to not cry out there, but didn't say anything about in there. And said, honey, I'll see you in heaven. And then he did something that was supernatural. He shoved all of that inside, all of those demons inside. And he walked out there and he said, I did what the Lord asked me to do. Do you know why we don't have the David Livingstons anymore? I shouldn't say anymore, they're hard to find. The Margaret Stringers. How in the world? You know, Mount Everest has already been tackled. It's already been conquered. But there are people living in places that are hard to get to. There are souls that have not been conquered for the Lord Jesus Christ. And reaching them is the equivalent of climbing Mount wherever. Sailing around the world, there are people that need to be reached with the gospel. When the gospel gets to them, it's the equivalent of saying, I sailed around the world. But we don't have the people to be able to trust God and take the storm. But what would happen if out of this room there is just an army of conquerors that are weak in ourselves but are strong in the Lord? Can you see this old preacher? The demons are coming in to his life with all of these things, and he grabs his sword and he goes to battle. He lays every one of them on the ground and he walks out, and the Bible says he did what the Lord asked. Do you know that that's not natural? Do you know that that is beyond a human's capability? He tapped in to something amazing, and it's inside of you if you know the Lord. Let's just look at one more and I'm done. Go to John chapter 19. So we got a little girl, got a young man, we have a dad, and now we're going to look at a mom. John chapter 19 and verse 25. All of a sudden, we leave the book of Ezekiel. We're transported to a very dark day. Jesus is now on the cross. He's beaten so bad you can't tell who he is. His chest is just heaving. He's just trying to breathe. There's blood everywhere. His body is shaking. He's under immense pain. The other guys around him are crying and screaming, and they're scared. That's the scene we're at right now, and I want you to look at this. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, that Mary was standing there within reach that Jesus could actually look at her. Do you think if you went there right now in real time, do you think that Mary is just a mess psychologically? Do you think she's just bawling uncontrollably, rolling around on the ground, going, oh, my son, why is this happening to me? Is that what you think that you would see there? No, because that would be of zero help to the Lord. What you see is you see a mama that's on the battlefield. You know, remember when he said, blessed art thou among women? I don't believe that simply just because she was a virgin. Now, look, she had to be a virgin. But back then, it was a lot more popular than it was today. She wasn't the only one around that had kept herself. That was way more popular. Now, absolutely, the Lord could not have been born from anybody but somebody that was a virgin, because his father had to be God. But do you know what I believe? The reason why he said, blessed art thou among women, is because what he's getting ready to ask her to do. He's saying, Mary, I got to ask you to do something that I've not ever asked any mom to ever do. I got to take your son. And he's got to die on that cross. And I can't be there, but you can. And I need you to stand there. Do you know full-grown men couldn't do that? Do you know the reason why Peter denied him? Because he was afraid. He was scared. He was worried that he would be next. He allowed all of these things that we're talking about to overcome him. And as they're going the other way, here comes a mama who loves her son. And can you see her just grab that sword? Man, I do not blame. I have been to places where a young lady OD'd on heroin. I'm doing the funeral. The mom is trying to get the body out of the casket, holding her and saying, my daughter, she was an absolute mess. And I do not believe that you would find Mary like that. And on that day, you have a lady entering in battle. And may I tell you something, ladies? You do not have to let this world define you. You define it by the power that's in God that lives in you. And in that, you can be more than conquerors. You don't have to settle for the fear, the anxiety, those things that rule us. Guys, if there's something that's tripping you up, man, tap into this and say, no more am I going to settle for being defeated. I'm not going to name it. I'm going to destroy it. And I'm going to go on and I'm going to do something with the Lord, because with him, I can be more than a conqueror. And I'm persuaded, and I hope you are, that neither life nor death, principalities, powers, or angels can separate me from the love of Christ. And may I tell you something? It does get scary out there. And when it does, I want you to understand that's the time that we shine. Everybody else runs from the storm. The Christian faces it. The wind blows 100 miles an hour, and we look it dead in the eyes, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And may I tell you something? You tap into that, it doesn't matter if you're 6 or 60. The world better watch out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth that's in your word. And thank you for helping us this morning. Thank you for showing us 4 people that did things beyond anything that we can do, that showed us what it's like to be more than a conqueror.